My goodness gracious alive, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So welcome to the Living Savior Church. We're so grateful you're here today. We praise the Lord for you, and I do praise the Lord that I believe that many of you, if you'll continue to listen to Dave, you'll finally get that law and grace thing. You know, I remember we had a young lady come here to visit with us, and she wanted to come and spend the summer with us, and so we gave her the invitation that if she wanted to come, she could come spend the summer with us, and she wanted to just be around everybody here and learn what they've learned. And so right after she got here one day, I was asking her how much scripture she had memorized. And she said, well, I memorized the entire book of Romans. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you in this room has ever memorized the entire book of Romans? Okay, so anyway, my statement to her was then, well, honey, if you have memorized the entire book of Romans, you must really understand and have a hold on this law and grace thing. She looked at me and says, what? I said, you don't understand law and grace? And she said, I guess not. I said, now you did tell me you memorized the book of Romans. To memorize the book of Romans, I wonder how many times you might have to read it. Reckon, you get any idea?
Hundreds,
right? Hundreds, not once or twice, not 10, not 20, probably hundreds of times. And you would think that if we had memorized the book of Romans, the whole thing, that we would understand what the book says. But she didn't get it. So I asked her a question. I said, do you ever pray over the Word of God before you read it? No. I said, you've never asked God to give you a revelation and wisdom and understanding from His Word when you read it? She says, no. She said, are we supposed to do this? I said, absolutely. Those are Paul's favorite prayers. You know, in Ephesians 1 and 3, that's what I pray, that God will give you revelation, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding from His Word. So if you just go to the Word and read it, even if you're reading it out loud, you'll learn very little if you don't pray and ask God to give you the revelation and the wisdom that's in the book. So anyway, I told her, I said, okay, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I said, every evening, I want you to go out and sit in the swing in the front, and I want you to take your Bible, I don't care what translation you read, and I want you to read and out loud the book of Romans again, but I want you to ask God to give you wisdom and understanding of what He's trying to tell us through the book of Romans. So a few days later, I saw her every evening out there for at least an hour, and she was reading the book of Romans. And one day I stopped by there as I was going out, and I said, honey, have you learned anything? She said, Mr. Scrivener, it's like I'm reading a book I've never read before. But what did she do different? She prayed over it. She asked God for wisdom, revelation, and understanding. And since she had memorized the whole book, not just a chapter, the whole book, and she had not learned anything from the book of Romans because she didn't ask God to give her the wisdom she needs. Is it important to pray over everything with thanksgiving? Yes, it is. Well, my message today is going to be about faith and unbelief. About a year and a half ago, this young lady from Lubbock, is that right?
Amarillo.
I'll get that right in a minute. Her mother told her daughter, said, honey, if you'll take me down to the Living Savior Church and you'll let Thurman pray over me, I know, not hope, not think, not maybe, but I know the Lord will heal my right arm. She had a big tumor on the top of her arm and she could only raise it up about to her waist. She had a rotator disconnected. And when they got here that day, she come up and she put her finger in my face just like this. Not this hand, she couldn't raise it up. She used her left hand. And when she started walking toward me, she said, I know. I thought, why is she saying, I know. When you touch me in the name of my Jesus, He's going to heal me. And I thought, wow, this woman sounds like the little woman that was dragging along through the crowd with the issue of blood, saying, I know that when I can touch the hem of His garment, I will be healed. Tell us what God did for your mother.
Well, like you said, we came down for a healing school. It was in February a year ago, and when we found out she had a torn rotator cuff, and I said, okay, Mom, what do you want to do? And she said, are you going to do surgery? You want me to take you to see Thurman? She thought about it. She says, take me to see Thurman. I said, okay. So we came down here. We sat through the healing school, and we got in line, and we were the last ones in the building. and everybody else had left, and he didn't get to us till 7 o'clock, maybe 8-ish, before we even got up to Thurman. And she did just like he said, but she couldn't even carry her purse in on her right arm. I was carrying her purse for. And so Thurman prayed for us, and she took her arm and stuck it straight up in the air just like this and got an instant miraculous healing right here. And so a few months later, she called me and she said, "Do you know what I'm doing?" I said, "Well, no." She said, "I just changed out my shower curtain." Now, you see, all the ladies went, "Aha," and the men were, "What?" Well, you have to, you know, reach up to change the shower curtain, and she changed the shower curtain without any trouble. Played in the backyard playing badminton with my grandson, her great-grandson, swinging the badminton around, and praise God, she's doing very well. Praise God.
Jesus really does heal, doesn't he?
Can I tell one more short one?
Absolutely, absolutely.
2 weeks ago, I was in Grand Junction for a baby shower, and a new grandbaby that's coming. And I went to a church with my son and his wife, and it's a church that's just being started there, and it didn't have but probably 10 people there. A nice young pastor, very young, 30-ish. He's out of Afghanistan and out of the military and now in the ministry. And it was a wonderful time. And how many of you know that if you kind of let your airbag get a little puffed up, God has a tendency to take a pin and poke it in your little bag of...
Whatever.
Yes. He has a way of humbling you. Well, he had humbled me. And I went to church that morning, humbled before the Lord and worshiped with everything I had. And as I left, I was greeting this new pastor. And I walked up and I said, "Young man, can I pray for you?" And he said, "Please." And so I put my hand on his chest like this, and I raised my other hand, and I began to pray for him in the spirit. And God brought to my mind the scripture that says, "These signs shall follow those who believe." But as I laid my hand on him, I said, "You will cast out demons. You will raise the dead. You will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." And I also said, "People will stop by your church. They won't know why they're coming in here." It was all under the inspiration of the Spirit. 5 minutes I had left the building. A homeless woman walked in. He and his wife spent 3 hours ministering to this woman. For the first time, he cast demons out of her. And God used me as an instrument to pray over this brand new pastor, real young pastor. Praise God. Amen. I was humbled again.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to serve a Jesus that shows up?
Amen.
I'll tell you, if there's a testimony that I'll never forget, it's that one with her mother. Because we were right here, standing right here when it happened. And I will never forget her mother, because that day when she stepped out, she said, "I know, I know." And she kept getting closer to me and shaking that finger. "I know,
I know,
I know."
And
I mean, I think any second she's going to tap me right on the end of the nose, but she said, "I know.
That's right.
When you touch me in the name of Jesus, I'm going to be healed."
Amen.
I mean, you talk about, as I'm standing there thinking, wow, this woman has faith. And I just reached up with this hand, laid it on her right shoulder, and when I did, I felt that big old soft thing under her blouse, like a tumor, whatever it was. I thought to myself, wow, I'm glad I'm not having to heal her. I'm glad it's Jesus. Because what's difficult with Jesus?
Nothing.
And then I spoke in the name of Jesus. That's all I got out. And immediately she throwed that arm. She throwed it straight up, didn't she, honey? Yeah. And I remember you saying, "Mama, you can't do that." I'm sure glad one of them had faith. So her daughter's getting more faith every day. Is that true?
Right.
It's been at least a year and a half, because we were in Hobbs at a later time, or Albuquerque or somewhere.
Albuquerque.
And her husband came to the meeting, but Mom didn't come. But they were there. And then I asked her, I said, "How's your mom doing?" And she said, "Oh, she's healed. She's just doing everything she wants to do." So she can change the shower curtain. She can carry her purse with her right arm. And what caused it to happen? Faith in Jesus. Her faith in her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, caused it. Now then, I'm going to show you from the Word of God today some of the things that causes us not to get our answers from God. He said in His Word that He sent His Word and healed us. I want to start out with Matthew 13, verses 54 through 58. We're going to use the King James Bible. When He was come into His own country, He taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, "Whence has this man this wisdom and these mighty words?" Thank you, Lord, for the rain. We believe in rain. If you happen to have a window down somewhere, it might not be a bad idea to go roll it up because it's going to rain. Praise the Lord. Here, last year or year before last, we had an extremely hot summer. And we kept getting drier and drier and drier. And everybody's talking about the driest year on record and everything else. So I thought, well, it's time for us to pray. So every Sunday, we as a church, before we would close out, we would pray with Matthew 18, 19 and ask the Lord to send us a rain. We did this for like 4, 5, or 6 weeks. And every week, we would get a quarter inch or a little shower. But we didn't get no real rain. So how many of y'all all know that God's a faith God?
Amen.
And He's not just a shotgun blast God.
Amen.
But He's a faith God. So, well, you know, the children were always getting where they all come to me now. Papa T, they all call me Papa T. They said, "Papa T, y'all, we all prayed for rain, so we know we're going to get a rain this week." And so we would get a quarter inch, a 3/8 of an inch, but never even a half inch. Finally, one day I said, "Okay, Lord, I realize we've been asking You for a rain, and You've been giving us a rain. But the one thing we've lacked, we have never told You what we want."
That's right.
I said, "Lord, we need to fill up the lakes. We need a real rain. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we ask You to give us 6 to 8 inches of rain this week."
Whoa.
And guess what? Between here and Possum Kingdom Lake, it rained between 6 and 8 inches everywhere between here and Possum Kingdom Lake. We got a fantastic rain. And we know where that come from. It come from our God. And He was showing us, "Hey, I'm not a shotgun blast God. I see you all down there praying every Sunday, but you don't tell me what you want. You know, you're asking me for a rain, so I'll send you a rain." Hey, isn't that wonderful? He sends us a rain. He sends us a quarter inch of rain. But Lord, we don't want a quarter inch, Lord. We want a good soaking rain. And that's today. Is that what we're all agreeing on? Lord, give us a good soaking rain over the whole area here. Really bring us a good soaking rain. And we thank You and praise You for doing it, Lord. We thank You for Your... We are not a bunch of unbelievers here, Lord. This bunch lives in belief of Your promises. Lord, thank You for letting it rain. Now, Lord, thank You. Now then, somebody told me yesterday, "Have you ever went into the internet and typed your name?" And I said, "Well, why?" And they said, "Because there's a whole lot of stuff on the internet about you." I said, "Well, is it true?" They said, "Well, some of it is and some of it's not. It all depends on who you are." So this morning early, I thought, you know, who is Thurman Scrivener? And I hit enter. And I found websites. I found stuff. I found one place where it says, "This name, this hit has been done over 100 million times." And I thought, wow, 100 million people have asked, "Who is Thurman Scrivener?" I thought, is this something or is this something? And some of the things it said by some teachers of seminary and everything else, some of them said that, well, one thing about Thurman Scrivener, he's not interested in money. You know, he's not selling anything. He gives everything away. He's very unique that he gives everything away. So he's not interested in money. But said he's teaching the same thing that many other teachers have taught in the last 100 years. So what he's teaching is nothing new. And I thought, well, you know, those other guys, they must have been reading the same book I am, right? Is that where we get it?
Yeah.
That's where we get it, from God's Word. But people that don't understand the Spirit, they don't understand this. So when we teach these things, just like Jesus now has come into His own hometown, and He's teaching these wonderful, awesome things, and they're all looking at Him saying, "Who is this guy? I mean, it's crazy. You know, I mean, are you trying to tell me that we have power to heal the sick? We have power to pray and ask God to bring rain?" No, that don't work. If God wants His rain, He'll send the rain. No, He won't. He'll answer our prayers or He won't send the rain. You know, if we don't pray, we don't get nothing from God. If you don't go with with faith in God, you ain't going to get nothing from the master. You got to go in faith, right, brother? So when you go in faith, what do they do for you? Oh, he'll bless you. He'll bless you, I guarantee you. He said, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence has this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Oh, he not only had wisdom and spoke unique things, but he had awesome works to back it up. This is when you got to remember who's going to do this. If you think for one second that you're going to do this, you just lost that miracle. Because you can't do that. But with him living in you, that's a piece of cake. Especially if you got the kind of faith her mother had. Because if you believe, there's nothing impossible. Nothing. So Lord, we thank you for healing her mother. Now then, next verse, 55. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brother James, and Joseph, and Simon, and Judas? I mean, isn't this a normal man? Is he a normal man? Yeah, he really is. He's a normal man. Just like you and me. 56. And his sisters, are they not with us? Whence then has this man all these things? And that's some of the questions that was asked. This guy Thurman Scrivener, he thinks he can heal the sick. No, there's a disconnect there. Thurman Scrivener don't think he can heal the sick. Thurman Scrivener knows that the God in him heals the sick. Because I've seen it many times. We've seen it many times, haven't we, brother? Now then, if you don't believe you can do these things because of who's in you, then you can't do these things. But you have to get rid of self. You have to die to self. You have to let God be in control in your life. And when you get in that book and you begin to understand who you are, when you get a hold of who you are and what he's already done for you, you'll get healed. It can't fail. I just think how many times in my life, until 35 years ago, that I was sick. I mean, the first half of my life, I had several sicknesses, especially back troubles. I mean, I had so many back troubles, it was unbelievable. Oh, my goodness, I can remember those pains and problems I had with my back until I learned how to walk in faith. And thank you, Jesus. Jack, me and you both have had back trouble, haven't we? And it ain't no fun, is it? And Jack's a doctor, you know, and he couldn't even heal himself. But when he came out here and I shared with him the truth of God's word, he looked at it and he thought, what is this? I ain't never heard such teaching as this. I got to repent of sin and then the prayer of faith be prayed over me and I'm going to get well. And I prayed for him and I said, okay, Jack, you're healed. And he says, oh, he said, Thurman, it still hurts. I said, well, I said, it ain't going to be a miracle. I said, it's going to be a healing. I said, miracles he does right now. But I said, for you, Jack, I don't know why he's not going to do a miracle. But I said, all I want you to do when you leave here, I want you to praise and worship the King. So 2 weeks later, he walked back in his church. He said, Thurman, what you teach really works. He said, I've been looking for this pain for 2 weeks and it ain't there. I said, well, Jack, quit looking for it. Quit looking for it. And that's been years ago now, had it, Jack. Yeah, and you've never had no more back trouble. Praise God. And see, that's just like me. I haven't had no back trouble either. And I love it, don't you? But now, wait a minute. I know. It was just a coincidence. Y'all ain't buying that, huh? If that was a coincidence, we've had lots of coincidences, have we not? Your mother was not a coincidence, was she? She was sick and she had that problem, but she's now healed. And all the rest of us that have had this same issue, we're healed. Jack's healed. I'm healed. And I'm grateful to the master because he's the one that done it. But we're still just normal people. I mean, we got brothers and sisters and all kinds of things. So we're normal. I take that back. I don't want to be normal. I don't want to be normal. What the world calls normal, I don't want to be that. Okay, 57. Let's go on. And they were offended in him. Now, isn't that something? But you know, there's people that are offended in me and what I teach. They really are. There is people that are greatly offended when I teach the Word of God like I teach it. I mean, but I teach it exactly like it's written in the book. You know, and it brings forth great results. But they were offended in him, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. You know, that's usually where you catch the most flack. You know, if you start trying to get into the supernatural realm, how many of you come to a place like this, you heard about me, and you know that there was no doctor could heal you, so you give up on doctors, so you came here, and then you heard the truth, and you might have been at a healing school and a healing service, and maybe you spent several hours with me in the Word of God, and I prayed for you and told you exactly what you had to do from God's Word, and then you leave here and you go home. And somebody said, well, did you go over to that healing church? Yes, I sure did. So what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to do exactly what God told me out of the Word. I repented of my sins. I'm standing in faith, and now I'm healed, and I'm going to quit taking my medication. You're going to quit taking your medicine? You're crazy. You know, you're crazy. Well, no. The Word of God says I got to trust totally in Jesus and not medicine. So I got that. So I'm going to lay down my medicine. I'm not going to take my medicine. I'm going to just trust Jesus. You're crazy. You're absolutely crazy. You know if you don't take that medicine, you're going to die. And then I'm going to hate Thurman Scrivener the rest of his life because he's going to be the one that killed you. You know, I've heard those kind of things. But I didn't kill him. And then just like Catherine told us a testimony yesterday about how she had never understood these principles about how things work. But she told us about how she got into an absolute knockdown dragout with her daddy. She was not honoring her dad. And so on her right leg, her right foot, her big toe became so infected, and the blood quit flowing in her big toe. And the doctors, she went to the doctors because she didn't know these principles. So the doctor said, it looks like we may have to amputate your toe. And she said, I'm going to do something else. I don't want my toe cut off. And so she started looking, and she found us. Now, who do you think might have accidentally directed her to us? Do you reckon the Lord might have had a hand in that? You reckon the Lord loved that girl and didn't want her to have her toe cut off, so he directed her to a place she could get the truth, and she came out here and heard the principles and found out it was her right foot, that's a male side, and that she had gotten into a really scrap with her dad, and she went to her dad, she forgave him, she got right with God, and then she went to the Lord and she said, Lord, I'm going to stop taking my medicine. And she stopped taking her medicine, and she said it looked like her toe was not getting any better, but it wasn't getting any worse. So she just stood on God's Word, and she said about 2 or 3 months, I believe is what she said, about 2 or 3 months, she was completely healed, and she's never had any more trouble with that toe. Now your toe is completely healed up, and everything's good, right? Now, see, when we learn that God is doing this to us to get our attention, and that, boy, there's not a lot of people believe in that. You know, but God says he will discipline those he loves. Does he say that? Does he say he'll discipline us with sickness and pain deep in our bones? He says that too, doesn't he? Yes, he does. So if God said it, I would rather believe God than man. If you don't know, just like this story we're reading right here, man's kind of messed up. Okay, after he said that a prophet is without honor, saving his own country and his own house, let's see what verse 58 says. So he did not many mighty works there because of whose unbelief? Now, why does he not do many mighty works around us today? If you go to a church that's got 100 people in it, 50 people in it, or 25,000 people in it, and there ain't nobody there, including the pastor, that believes that God is a supernatural healer that does these mighty things today, how many miracles do you think you're going to see in that church? Not very many. Not very many. But when you come to a place where you see a lovely little lady from Amarillo, that's shaking that finger in my face thing, I know. When he touches me in the name of Jesus, I'm going to be healed. I can just see the king sitting there saying, would you look at my daughter? Would you look at that girl? Can't you see him doing that? Just looking at her. Say, look at that precious daughter of mine. Thurman, touch her. I can't wait for you to touch her. I just want to heal her. She has so much faith. Because just like the little woman with the issue of blood. She said, I know. In fact, it literally says in the scripture, she thought. She didn't even speak it out loud.
No, she didn't.
She thought. She said, within herself, I know that when I touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be healed. And she reached through there and touched that garment, and immediately the power of God flowed out of him to her, and she was instantly healed. And then he turned and looked and said, power flowed out of me. Peter said, somebody touched me. Peter said, what do you mean somebody touched you? There's people thronging all around you. But somebody touched me in faith, and it was your mother. Your mother touched me in faith. And when she touched me in faith, I showed up as soon as my son. I needed a man that believed, to lay hands on my daughter that believed. And when my son that believed touched my daughter that believed, there ain't nothing to hold back my healing power. And he touched her and he healed her. And that's a year and a half ago and Mama's still healed. Don't you love it? And so he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. You know, I was in a Baptist church 65 years. Never saw any such thing as supernatural healing, miracles, or nothing. I never seen it in a Baptist church. You know why I never saw it in a Baptist church? Because nobody believed it. Nobody. In fact, I remember we had a new pastor. He's been gone a long time now, but we had a new pastor come in over here to Baptist church in Justin. Of course, everybody knew I was not normal. You know, I was a little on the wacky side because I believed in the power of God. And I didn't have any problem praying for the sick. So this little lady that was a good friend of mine there in the church, she come to me one Sunday morning and said, Thurman, I've been sick all week. She said, would you ask the pastor to have two or three of the deacons and you? She said, I want you to be part of this. I want y'all to pray for me. She said, I'll be happy to come down front right at the beginning of the service, because said I want to be able to enjoy the service, and as sick as I am, I don't feel like I'm going to enjoy it. So would you ask the pastor to pray for us, pray, to anoint me with oil, according to James 5, 14, 15, and 16. That's scripture. James 5, 14, it says, any sick among you? So I said, sure, ma'am, I have no problem with that. So I walked in his office, and that was only the second Sunday he had been there. I walked in his office. Now, I was one of his deacons, but I guess I'd never been officially made known to who he was, or he had been introduced to me. So anyway, I just walked in. I said, brother, one of the ladies, Miss So-and-so, she wants us to anoint her with oil and pray the prayer of faith for healing right at the beginning of the service. Is that okay with you if I get two or three deacons and we do that? He just jumped up behind that desk, threw his hands up and said, Thurman Scrivener, if you think I'm going to make this church a healing place, he said, you got another thing coming. No, you can't do that in this church. Now, that's the pastor of the church. The pastor of the church. And you wonder why we don't have any miracles? So I went over and I got two or three of the boys and I went and got that lady and I said, ma'am, come back in my Sunday school class before church starts and we're going to pray the prayer of faith for you. So we took a little, I always carry a little bottle of oil with me. And so I took that little bottle of oil, I anointed her with prayer, and I knew two or three men in the church that really believed just as strong as I did. You know, Danny Temple was one of them, Howard Young, the president of the bank. I mean, them boys, I know them boys believe the word of God. You know, so, I mean, you don't go get a bunch of unbelievers. So after the pastor told me what he did, I told him, I don't want him in the meeting. Would you want a man like that in the meeting? No, I wouldn't want him in the meeting. Lord, thank you for the rain. Lord, thank you for the rain. Lord, thank you, we're going to get a good rain. But anyway, I got these two men. I said, you know, this lady, and they all knew her. She'd been there forever. So we took her into my Sunday school room, and we anointed her with oil, prayed the prayer of faith right quick, and went to church. When church was over, we started to leave, and I said, Miss Minnie, I said, how do you feel? She said, great. I enjoyed your service. It was wonderful. I said, I'm healed.
Praise God.
Does God show up always for his people that have faith?
Yes, he does.
Yeah, he does. He always shows up for his faith. That little lady had faith. Me and them other two guys had faith, and we did exactly what our God told us to do out of his word, and he showed up and he healed that little, and he healed her completely right there. I mean, she just had a great day that day. Now, how many people is those scriptures available to?
Everybody
that knows them. Everybody that will believe them. Now, if you don't believe, you will see right here. And he did not very many mighty works there because of unbelief. Their unbelief. If you don't believe God is going to do something wonderful for you, we can show you from the scripture where he doesn't show up for unbelief. Is that true? There was unbelief. Okay, let's go to Matthew 13, let's go to Matthew 17:14. Matthew 17:14, we'll go through verse 21. And whenever come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, verse 15, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic. Now, when's the last time you've seen somebody come to church and say, I want the pastor, my son's a lunatic, and I want you to pray for him? Do we ever do that anymore? Yeah, that's for sure. We don't talk like that. Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic, and he's sore vexed, and oftentimes he falls into the fire and often into the water. What is it that we see that causes people to do that? Yeah, epilepsy. Yeah, epilepsy. I mean, the first time I ever saw a demonstration of epilepsy, it was a young man that lived down there at Goldthwaite, he was about 10 years older than me, but I didn't know what was wrong with him, but I knew he had a little bit of Down syndrome. Of course, I had no idea what caused all this stuff back in those days. No idea. But we went out hunting one night, and while we were hunting coons and ringtails and animals, we got cold, so we stopped to sit down and build a fire. And we stopped, sat down and built a fire, and we're warming our hands and everything, and all of a sudden this young man went into a seizure, trying to swallow his tongue. I never seen anything like this. I had no idea. I thought he was dying. I mean, I just told the other boys with us, I said, you stay here with him, and I'm going to run to the house and get Mom and Dad. And so I just throwed my gun down right there, and I broke and run across a plowed field that was probably 60, 70, 80 acres with big old furrows in it and loose dirt. And by the time I got to the house, I was so exhausted, I couldn't talk. When I run into the house, Mother, I said, Ma. And she said, son, what's wrong? And I couldn't tell her. I was so out of breath, I didn't know. And so finally, after a few minutes of settling down, I said, you know, so-and-so is something wrong with him. He's sick somehow, don't know what it is. So we all jumped in the pickup and we run back down there. And of course, when we got there, Mom and Dad, they knew what a seizure, you know, they knew what it was. They said, well, he's having a seizure, so we'll take him home. So we took him to his mother and dad's house. And, you know, they worked with him a few minutes and he got okay. But Mom said, son, don't ever do that again. You know, if something happens like that, don't worry. Said, you could have killed yourself. Well, I mean, I was scared. You know, I had no idea. You know, the thing about it is, we do our children a great injustice when we don't teach them the principles of the kingdom from the time they're little bitty. Amen. They need to know what these things are. If I had been reading the Word of God to my children every day, or if my dad had been reading the Word of God to me every day, and we'd have started when I was just 1 or 2 years of age, and he'd have read an hour or two every night, by this time I'd have been through this 2 or 3, 4 times. I would have known what this thing was, and I probably would have even known what to do. Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic, and he's sore vexed, and oftentimes he falleth into the fire and often into the water. Verse 16, and I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. Well, it's got to not be God's will to do it then, right? I mean, isn't that what we think? That's what I was always told. You know, if you pray for somebody and nothing happens, it's not God's will. No. That's not the way it works at all. Let's see what the next verse says, verse 17. Then Jesus answered and said, oh, you wonderful people. Gracie, can't you just see him being nice like that? You don't think he acts like that, huh? You reckon maybe he might have said it like this? Oh, you faithless bunch. You're a faithless bunch. That's what's wrong with you. Is that what's wrong with us today? Same thing. It's the same exact thing. Then Jesus answered and said, oh, you faithless and you're perverse. I don't like it when the master calls me perverse. But, you know, he knows what he's talking about, doesn't he? I am a perverted generation because I don't believe the promises of God. And he wasn't hesitant when he said, you faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him hither to me. So anytime we don't get healed, we certainly cannot say it's not Jesus' will that we don't get healed. Because it's always the Master's will to heal us. Is that right? It's always. You know, but until we do something in faith, he don't show up. You know, and if there's sin involved, he don't show up. If you've got sin in your life you have not repented of, you know, you're maybe lying to your neighbor, you've got a really bad tongue, you know, and you're talking all this bad trash about so-and-so, and you can't keep your mouth shut. Now, I know none of y'all have that problem but me, you know. So I know all of y'all got to be such good, wonderful, loving people. You would never talk evil about nobody under no condition, would you? We have been known to do that, though, haven't we? But when we learn the truth, we don't do it no more, right, brother? I mean, especially after we may go through a little judgment from God for doing this. But he says, then Jesus answered and said, oh, you faithless and your perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you or suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Verse 18. And Jesus rebuked the devil, the demon, and he departed out of him, And the child was cured from that very hour. In this church, you people are not normal. Normal people don't come to this church. Supernatural people come to this church. People that believe in the power of God. People that God speaks to. We don't have hardly ever, and sometimes we have a normal person come and they go, get about an hour or two into a healing school and they get up and walk out. I've seen that happen several times. That's okay. You know, I'm telling you that what I teach is right out of God's word. Word for word, line by line. You know, that's the way it is. And I do that because I know that people don't believe the truth. You know, so when I think about this, how many of you in this room have ever rebuked a demon or spoke to a devil or a demon and it absolutely came out? Okay, some of you have. Praise God. That's good. Because, you know, if I'd asked that question in my Baptist church, it wouldn't have been a single hand go up, I don't think. Not a single one. And if you know, if I had been a part of that a few years ago, you know, many years ago, you could have said, Thurman, how many demons have you cast out? I said, man, not none. And not none. In fact, the other day, I got to tell you a story on Kim and Scott here. They were somewhere, and they was having a meeting or something, and maybe it was at another church, I think. But at least it was young people there, and some bad weather came up. I mean, it was stormy looking, and they were talking about maybe a twister and all kinds of stuff, and they're all trying to wonder where they're going to hide and where they're going to get and everything else. And this couple, they said, we're just going to go outside and take care of that. So they go outside, and Kim, she just throws her finger at that cloud and says, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I command you to dissipate and not do any damage in this area. I have authority over you in Jesus' name. Amen. And a couple of the young boys there said, we ain't never heard nobody talk to the weather like that. But it went away. It went away, didn't it, Scott? See, that's the way we should be known as Christians. Oh, you know that Scott and Kim Smith? Oh, yeah, them people that do crazy things. You know, them people that speaks to the storms and they go, yeah, I know them all right. I give them a lot of room. I don't get too close to them. Why don't you get close to them? Well, they also say you got to be holy, you know, and I don't like to be holy. I like to sow my wild oats. That's why they don't want to be around them. Because you can't sow your wild oats and God honor that kind of a prayer. So it says there, and the child was cured. Jesus rebuked the devil, the demon. You know, I can remember my first time with a demon. You know, I guarantee the first time, you know, it was scary because I didn't know who I was. But now then, it don't bother me at all. I mean, just demons are just demons. I know I got all power and authority over them. I know they got to leave. So all you got to do is just stand on his word. It's going to happen. Next verse. Then came the disciples of Jesus apart, and they said, why could not we cast him out? Now, see, that's a question we ought to ask. If we pray for somebody and they don't get healed, we ought to go to the Lord and say, Lord, why did this not happen? I mean, you clearly said in your word, I could do this. But I did this, and it didn't happen. And so, what did I do wrong? So, that's what they did. Why could we not cast out that spirit? Verse 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your wonderful loving faith. Is that not what he said? What did he say? Because of what?
Unbelief.
Is unbelief probably the biggest problem we have in the church today?
Amen.
Even in our church. You know, even in our church, that I believe that we live a notch above, by far above the normal church. Because most churches don't believe in casting out demons. They don't believe in healing the sick. You know, they don't believe in none of that stuff. Some churches don't even believe in getting people saved. You know, I might say, well, I'm talking about Scott and Kim. They both came out of a church that didn't even believe in getting saved. You know what kind of church they came out of? Catholic. Catholic church doesn't teach salvation. The average Catholic church did it.
No.
They didn't have a clue how to get saved. They went to church all the time, loved God, but they didn't know how to get saved. Didn't have a relationship with the master till they got out of the Catholic church. And then the Lord revealed to them how to get saved. And boy, did he change their life forever. Man, did they change their life forever. But of course, you know, there's the same thing. You know, unbelief, but when they first heard about me and heard about the things I did, they thought, oh my gosh, I wonder if he's like Benny Hinn, you know, pushes everybody down. And so they wanted, she had a back problem too, just like me and Jack did. She had a back problem and she wanted to be healed, but you know, they came down to the service that Sunday or Saturday, whatever it was. I think it was Sunday. Yeah. And they came to the service, but she wouldn't come up for prayer because she was afraid I might push her down. So she sat back there in the back. She says, and close to the door, you know, where she can get away if something crazy goes on. I mean, you don't know this guy, but he's not normal. Everybody told you that you go down there, Thurman Scribner, he ain't normal. Amen. I love that. Don't you, girl?
I love it.
See, like what did I tell you last night? There's some people that love me. Her mother got healed. She loves me. And you got healed. And so you love me.
I do.
And you love Jesus.
Amen.
And you know where that healing come from.
That's right.
From the Master. But the Lord does use me to speak and to see you do, see wonderful things happen. And I'm grateful that He does that. Aren't you? I'm so grateful for God to choose me to do these things. But He says, Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, that's a little bitty bit, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and only a few things will be impossible with you. Oh, that's not what He said? So what did He say then? Now, wait a minute. You know that couldn't be true.
Oh, it's true.
It is true.
Right.
Nothing is impossible with you and me. Right, brother?
Right.
We can do anything in the name of Jesus, right?
Of Jesus,
amen. God. Praise God. Oh, you want to shake my hand, too. You, with you and me, all things are possible, little lady. Praise the Lord. In fact, when it comes to unbelief, it's the biggest problem we have in the church today. Unbelief. God is looking for a group of people that believe His promises. And when we believe His promises, He shows up. But when He tells us something to do, we got to do it. You know, I mean, you have to obey. And sometimes, there's times that you'll be there. I know this many times with Cheryl and I. We will be here standing here praying for somebody, and she'll be telling the man or the woman or whatever, you know, this is your problem. You know, you need to do this or you need to do that. And they're not, it's like they're not hearing anything she's saying. They just keep right on doing what they were doing. And so whenever we get through, I said, what do you think? She said, well, they didn't get nothing. They didn't hear nothing. And I thought, how many times have I, just like I was telling Jack earlier today when we were standing back there in the back teaching, I said, Jack, when you've been teaching these things like I have for 20 or 30 years, I said, it's kind of like, you know, you're teaching a guy to fly a DC-8 for the first time from the real cockpit. And there is a mark on the artificial horizon that says 9 degrees nose up. Now then, that is the limit on takeoff. And you tell them, you see that mark on that horizon? You're looking straight at that. When you push the throttles up to takeoff, when you rotate this airplane, you do not let that pointer go beyond 9 degrees. Why? Because if you do, you're going to drag the tail. The airplane is so long, if you rotate more than 9 degrees, you drag the tail. Well, not necessarily crash. I mean, but first time you hear it, of course, it's got a big old skid deal on the back there. And if you're in an empty one, which pilot training is always in an empty one, you know, that if you ever are in one when they drag the tail and you happen to be standing in the cockpit door, have you ever heard of something that's going down the road and like you're dragging something or a piece of steel or your tail, your something on your trailer or something, and all of a sudden, it reaches down and touches the ground. Can you imagine what that sounds like? Dragging on the ground. Well, let me tell you, if you ever are in a DC-8, when they touch the tail with that hollow tube, it sounds, it echoes, and it sounds in the cockpit like you just tore the whole tail off that airplane. And all you got to do is just touch it. But if you go another degree, you mash the tail pretty good. And then you have to do a complete inspection on the whole back of that airplane before it can be flown. So here's the thing, telling pilots how to do that is kind of like telling you folks sometimes about what's wrong with you when I tell you what you're sick, what's causing you to be sick, and you need to stop doing this, and you need to believe God's word. And when I get through, I say, did you understand that? And they say, I got it. And it went 4 foot over the top of your head. You walk right out and say, go right back to doing exactly what you were doing. I told you, I said, you got to stop talking evil about that person. Okay, I promise I'll do that. And they turn around and say, did you see that woman right there? I can't stand that woman right there. And this is on the way away from where I just got through telling them, you can't talk evil about nobody. Did they get it? No, they didn't get it. See, it's just like that pilot. The thing about it is, if he ever touches, if you're standing there and saying, 8 degrees, don't go past 9. And if he don't go past 9, it's okay. But if he ever goes past 9 and he hits 10 and he drags that tail, I guarantee every time he goes to rotate, he'll remember that. Oh my gosh, I don't want to do that again. And then if he does it very hard, he's going to be looking for a new job. So he definitely won't, he'll have a problem from now on. Now, if you're taking off with a load of passengers and you happen to touch the tail, what do you think the passengers are going to, they're going to be up in the cockpit with you saying, do you know what you're doing? Because I guarantee it sounds like it's the most awful sound you ever heard in your life. And people are a little bit shaky anyway about airplanes, and they don't want nothing to go wrong, right? So if the pilot or test pilot or check pilot, whoever he is, when you were training this guy, if you beat this into him, you're not to over-rotate, never hit 10 degrees. That's an absolute limit. So if they never have a problem, never hit it, you know, they'll never really, but if you're ever with one that he hits it one time, guarantee he'll remember it forever. You know, you don't ever want to be in when want to do that. But this is what God is telling us. Our unbelief is creating a problem among us. Unbelief. You don't believe my promises. Is that right? That's got to be true, because when we find somebody that has no unbelief, what happens to them?
They get healed.
They get healed. That's right. You got healed, and your mama got healed, and your mama, if I ever seen a little lady that had no unbelief, it was your mama. You know, I mean, if everybody had the kind of faith your mother's got, we wouldn't have no sick people. I guarantee that little woman, she has faith. But God requires that from all of us. He said, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible with you. Is that the word? Now then, if we have faith, and we have faith because God gave us the measure of faith when we got saved, right? If we have faith, what did you notice that people do that have faith? What do they do? They say. Say to what? Even the mountain. So, I mean, see, Jesus made this about as big as he could make it, because anybody in a right mind knows that if you go out there and say, there's a little mountain that's only 4 foot high, a little bitty molehill. In the name of Jesus, I command you to be moved from here over to there. And you stand there a minute and say, see, just what I thought, it didn't move. But that's where we live, right? See, just like I thought, it didn't move. Well, the reason it didn't move is because you didn't believe it was going to when you spoke to it. Because you were eat up with unbelief. Now then, if you really believed with no doubt in your heart, and God, no, if you had no doubt in your heart and you went out there and there was a mountain that was 500 feet tall, and you said, Jesus said, if I have no doubt in my heart, I say to that mountain, be removed from here and cast into the sea. He said, thank you, Lord, it's done. What would that mountain do? It would go. Now, most of us can't even think like that, can we? But if we get to where we can think like that, then we'd be just like your mother. We'll have that kind of faith. Is that right? When we have faith, what is impossible with us when we speak what we want? What's impossible, Gracie?
Anything impossible.
That's almost too good to be true, isn't it? But it is true, isn't it? So what have we got to work on? Unbelief. We have got to get rid of our unbelief. These promises are not some crazy fly-by-night cowboy wrote. I didn't write this just before I came in here today. This has been in God's Word for how many years? Yeah, eons, thousands of years. He wrote this 2,000 years ago. So it's been good all this time. I was just in there in my office praising the Lord and thanking Him, Lord, I thank you that I live during this age where we have the Bible, where we have computers, where I have the written Word of God. I'm so grateful that I didn't live during the dark ages when there was no printing presses or nothing. Whenever I could not have had the Word of God in front of me. I could have never known these awesome principles. I could have never walked in this, because if I have not a Bible, what can I do if I've never read a Bible? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. The promises of the Word of God are so far-fetched, you could never dream them up on your own.
No
way. You could never dream them up. So with the Word, it's difficult enough with the written Word. Is it right, Scott? I mean, it's so powerful. You want to look at it and read it, you think, my gosh, that says right there, if I have faith and doubt not, I can say to a mountain, and the mountain will obey me. And therefore, only a few things would be impossible with me. But that's the way we think, isn't it? That's the way we think. Only a few things is impossible with me. What is supposed to be impossible with sons and daughters of God? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You know, that's just like that, when I talked about demons, that's just like when we was in Silver City, New Mexico, here a few years ago. We had that woman had that pain in her chest, and she's a beautiful little woman. You know, I mean, I guess she brought weight 120 pounds. She wasn't a very big girl, but she had four babies, you know, but she homeschooled them, but she had a pain in her chest, in her stomach, in her chest and all. She'd been to the doctor. Doctors couldn't find nothing wrong with her. So she said, I understand you're coming to Silver City. I would like for you to minister to me the second morning you're there. I said, okay, meet me at the restaurant in a hotel at 10 o'clock and we'll talk about it. And so she did. And as we were talking about all this, I asked her, do you have all your sins confessed? Oh, yes, I've confessed all my sins. And she had her Bible with her and she opened it, and man, from Genesis to Revelation, she had highlights and everything and underlines and stars. And I thought, wow, this woman's been in her Bible. She's really studied the Bible. And so I said, after a little while, I finally decided, I said, okay, somewhere along the line, you've sinned and you've opened the door to a demon and you've got a demon in you. I said, but since you've repented of all sin, I said, I will command that beast not to manifest, and I'll command him to come out of you. And I said, he'll come out. And I said, then we'll be okay and your pain will go away and you'll be okay. And so I looked at her right now and said, and I said all those things. And I said, now in the name of Jesus, I command you, devil, to come out of her in Jesus' name, about like that. And when I did, she went wild. I mean, her tongue rolled out of her mouth and rolled upside down and back in. Her eyes totally disappeared. And she started fussing and cussing and all kinds of crazy things. And I thought, you devil of hell, shut up. In the name of Jesus, I told you, you have no legal right to her. And he said, I do have legal right to her. That's why I can do these things. I said, no, you don't. Yes, I do. I said, then why do you have legal right? She's confessed ever since. He said, this blankety blank woman, she invited us in 24 years ago when she joined the Rainbow Girls, and we've had legal right to her ever since. I said, how many of you are in there? He said, 2,823 of us are in here. I said, well, then I said, I'll just call her back up. I'll have her repent of that sin. And of course, she put her hands together like this and began to interweave them. She said, he said, the demon out of her mouth, said, we are so interwoven in her brain, we will never, ever let her confess that sin. So therefore, you'll never be able to cast us out. I said, well, if that case, then I said, I'll use John 20:23. See, John 20:23 says, whosoever sins we forgive, they are forgiven. Now, most of the church don't believe that, but it's written in God's Word, isn't it, Darren? It's in God's Word. Do you know you can forgive sin? Yes. You know that, don't you?
I do.
Absolutely. You're a daughter of the King who lives in you. Christ lives in you, the hope of glory, so you have the power to do anything He did, even greater things than the things Jesus did, we can do, because that's what He said in John 14:12. And so I told her, I said, I will just use John 20:23, and I will remit her sins, and then I'll kick you out. And she come across that table, spit all over me, screaming at me, and said, almost nobody knows that verse. And those that have read it don't believe it. I said, but I know it, and I believe it. So I said, in John 20:23, I remit her sins. I said, now you have no more legal right to her. In the name of Jesus, come out of her in the name of Jesus. And for the next 6 or 7 hours, we fought a tremendous battle. And before the day was over, we got that little woman completely delivered of all the demons. And of course, as we're getting close to the evening, I didn't realize I'd been there. Me and Cheryl and Dave, all of us were there. I didn't realize I'd been on top of her casting out demons for 7.5 hours till I looked over at the clock. And I said, Lord, I said, I got to preach in an hour. I said, when's this going to be over? And he said something that forever changed my life. He said, son, when you believe it's over, that's when it's going to be over.
Praise God.
When you believe. What was keeping me from getting her delivered? Unbelief. Unbelief. So, man, I grabbed that woman one more time. I shook that woman one more time. I spoke in her face. I said, you devils of hell, this is the last time I'm going to speak to you. in the name of Jesus. I said, you're coming out of her right this minute. You're never going to end her again in the name of Jesus. Because Jesus said, I have all power and authority over you. I said, so come out of her and go to her no more in Jesus' name. I slammed her back down on the bed. I jumped up and stood up. I said, woman, get up. I guarantee it, you're delivered in the name of Jesus. She looked up at Cheryl and said, who are you? And she looked down at Dave, holding her feet down. She said, what are you doing down there? I said, woman, you're delivered. Get up. She said, what happened to me? For 7.5 hours, this woman had no idea what had happened to her. She had 2,823 demons, which we kicked every one of them out. And that changed our life forever. Amen. Changed her life forever. That girl got delivered. She got set free. Now then, how much power and authority do we have over demons? So if we have all power and authority over demons, how much power do they have?
None.
None. Only if we have an open door through sin, can they do this to her? And because of the open door of sin by joining the Rainbow Girls, that was the sin that this girl committed when 24 years ago when she joined that Rainbow Girl, probably at one of her mother's or sister's or something's invitation when she was a young girl. Not realizing that is an organization controlled by the devil. And so it opened the door. And so the demons come in. But once we got her to repent of the sin, of course, we remitted her sins ourselves. And then we cast 2,823 demons out of one little woman that day. And that woman was completely healed. That day when she went away, she had no demons. Now, did Jesus tell us that we can cast out demons? Most of us don't believe that, but he did say that. Okay, so we got verse 21. One more verse there. He says, now howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. No wonder we don't have power to kick out demons. Don't tell me to come over. I mean, I thought in the Baptist church when they wrote that word down, fast, I thought they left out the E, you know. I mean, all the ladies I knew in the Baptist church knew how to feast. They could fix up some good stuff to eat, but, you know, when it comes to fasting, in fact, I remember a Church of Christ doctor from Gatesville. He brought about 8 people from the Church of Christ years ago to my healing school, and after we went to the healing school that day, he went home, and when he got home the Sunday morning, he walked up, and there's their youth leader, and he looked at his wife, and the youth leader's wife and him, and he said, are you two kids still trying to have a baby? Now, he's a doctor. And they'd been to him a couple of times to try to find out what was wrong. He couldn't find nothing wrong with her or him, but they couldn't get pregnant. He said, are you two kids still trying to have a baby? And she said, yes, yes, absolutely. We'd love to have a little boy. He said, well, you know, I have been to a healing school yesterday, and faith has never been higher in my life than it is right now. So he quoted 2 or 3 of these awesome promises and said, now, in the name of Jesus, I command you to get pregnant. I mean, he spoke directly to her body, said, I command your body to get pregnant. He said, now you two kids after church, you go home and do what you're supposed to do to get pregnant. So he said, a month later, she called me and said, Doc, I think I'm pregnant. I done a pregnancy test and it shows positive. He said, ma'am, he said, you don't do it in the evening, you do it in the morning. It could be false. So he said, next morning at 6 o'clock, my phone's ringing at home. It's a little town, Gatesville, you know, everybody knows everybody. She said, I tried it this morning and it still shows I'm pregnant. He said, okay, come in and I'll check you. So he said, she came in and I checked her and she was pregnant. And he said, 9 months later, they had a beautiful bouncing baby boy. He said, now, I learned how to do that at your healing school. He said, I didn't learn that in the Church of Christ. I didn't learn that in the Baptist church either, but I did learn it from reading God's word. And so when you believe, Jesus told us a while ago, if we believed, we could speak to a mountain and it would obey us, did he not? And then he told us, not only will the mountain obey you, but what would be impossible with us as sons and daughters of God?
Nothing.
Nothing. You know, it's just like yesterday, we had a great testimony. This couple that was sitting up here on the front row yesterday, I don't know if they're here today or not. They're not here. I think they went home last night. But they were on the way down here from Tennessee, and a car pulls out in front of them, doesn't see them coming down the road at 50 miles an hour, and a car pulls out in front of them, and he has to swerve the van to miss. And when he does, the van turns up on his side, and the wife screams, Jesus! And the van comes back down right side up and did not stay turned over on the side, come all the way back up on his wheels. And Five of them in that car. And then the car, after they got back on the wheels, the car hit them in the side and totaled their van. Totaled it. It's a total wreck. But by screaming the name of Jesus, yesterday when the daddy stood up here and gave the testimony, he didn't have a sore spot on his body. His wife didn't have a sore spot. And their two sons, they had a 12-year-old daughter, a 15-year-old son, and a 17-year-old son, and not one single one of them, including the woman that was in the car that hit them, not one of them had a mark on their body or sore, nowhere, but yet totaled those two cars. And they screamed one word. What was that word?
Jesus.
Is there any name greater than the name of Jesus? You should have that name hidden in your heart. You should be speaking and calling forth the name of Jesus. Because, I mean, it brings forth great things. If you really want to see God do wonderful things, learn another word to go with the name of Jesus, and that's the word sozo. You see that up there? Kind of little, the little sozo, but the other words are kind of big. Sozo means those other five things. What does that say up there? Saved, healed, made whole, delivered, and preserved. So when you say, Lord, sozo me, you're getting all five of them. And see, he knows that. So you don't have to say, Lord, heal me. Lord, save me. Lord, deliver me. Just say, Lord, sozo me. And he knows what the Greek means. He wrote it. So he can set you free. Is that right, Jack? All you need to do, I mean, is learn that word, sozo. And they got set free. Now, when's the last time you've seen a car turn over on its side? They call her the name of Jesus. It comes back up. Car hits it, totals both cars, ruins them, especially their van. It's totally totaled out, and not one person out of six has got a cut, a bruise, or a mark, or a sore spot on them. That just don't hardly happen, does it, Darren? It don't happen. I mean, it don't happen, praise God. But it does happen if you know the Word of God, right? Yeah, if you know the Word of God. Wow. But this kind of goes out by prayer and fasting. Well, this is why we don't have the power in the church we need, because very few people like to fast. It's not something we like to do. My flesh don't like it. I have fasted many times in my life, but my flesh don't like it. But my spirit does. Yeah. So he says, if you want to have this kind of power to do these kind of things, you're going to have to learn to pray and fast. You know, and of course, praying is something that a lot of Christians don't do. And you know what really gets me is us men. I mean, I can talk about us because I am one of us. When a woman's married to a man and they go to church together and she's got a problem and she needs somebody to pray and he won't even pray for her. You have no idea how many times women come here and say, well, Pastor, I'm going to have you pray for me because my husband won't pray for me. He's a Christian? Oh, yeah, he goes to church, but he won't pray. Does he never pray at home? No, he never prays at home. You know what I have to say about you guys? You guys? You are a bunch of wimps. That's all I got to say. If you won't pray and you call yourself a Christian, you are a wimp, and you need to change that. Do you girls agree with me?
Yes,
these guys need to learn how to pray. They need to be in church with you. Every time you go, that husband ought to be there. He's supposed to be the spiritual head. He's the one that's supposed to have all the power. He's the one that's supposed to cast out demons. He's the one that's supposed to pray for his wife and children. It's not supposed to be the woman. The man's the one that's supposed to be doing all this. Was any of the apostles women? No. Did Jesus choose any women? But has he used a lot of women since? Oh, yeah, because you're his daughters and he uses you. But the man is supposed to be the one that's the head of the house. Never did Jesus pick a woman head of the house. Never. The husband's the head of the house. The husband's supposed to pray for the wife. The husband's supposed to pray for the children. The husband's to take the bull by the horns and read the Word of God to the children. He's the one that's supposed to do these things, not the wife. The wife's supposed to sit there and be taught with the husband. And we don't do a very good job. As men, we don't do a very good job. We don't put God first. Y'all know that? I think we need to change that, don't you? I think we need to become great and awesome men of faith. Men that can pray and touch the hand of God. And we can see devils come out when we speak in the name of Jesus. You know, we can see people get healed. We can see people get saved. I mean, I think about that little guy over in Dallas that time. I've told this story, but it's a good one. His grandmother and grandfather, the mother and daddy of the child, didn't want him. They were just two wild kids. And they had this little boy, and he was now 10 years old. And grandmother called me, and she said, We have a problem with our grandson, and he's absolutely rebellious. He won't do anything we ask him to do. He's just really rebellious. We try to get him to go to church. He just won't go. I said, well, they said, would you come to our house and minister to him? I said, no, I've got too many things to do. But I said, today's Thursday, and Saturday I have a healing school. I said, bring that boy to me at the healing school. They said, well, what if he don't go? I said, which one of y'all's the biggest? You know, is daddy and mama, I said, granddad, are you bigger than that 10-year-old kid? He said, yeah. I said, I guarantee I could throw that kid over my shoulder. If I tell him we're going to church, he's going to church. I may have to bust his rear end all the way, whap, 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 but I said, he's going. Hey, last time I checked, I'm bigger than a 10-year-old kid. You know that? And I don't have no problem with a 10-year-old kid. You know, if I tell him to do something, after I have about three licks on the rear end, he's going to say, hey, we got a new line of authority here. I thought I was in charge, but now I realize I ain't. And we need a few children. We got a few children that needs that revelation. You know that? So they brought him to church. And after the healing school was over, I said, where's the boy? And they come up and they said, well, he's back there running around. I said, call him. They called him and come up. I got down on my knees right in front of him. I said, son, what you need is Jesus. No, I ain't interested. I don't want nothing to do with Jesus. So I said, you don't love Jesus? No. I don't want nothing to do with Jesus. Now, I just done a teaching here that if there's anybody's eyes blinded, 2 Corinthians 4:3-4 clearly says if there's anybody lost, they're lost because the God of this world has blinded their mind. Y'all remember that?
Yes.
If the God of this world, which is Satan, has blinded their mind, how much power and authority do I have over Satan?
All.
So it's no big deal. So I just knelt down in front of him, grabbed him by the shoulders, and I looked him right in the eye and said, come out of him, you devil of hell. You spirit of unbelief, leave and don't ever come back. I said, now, son, how would you like to make Jesus Lord of your life? He said, I'd love it. Just that quick. Bam. Let him into the kingdom of God. Got him gloriously saved. Asked the Lord to fill him with the Holy Ghost. The next week, the grandmother called me. She said, Thurman, this is the most unbelievable thing I have ever seen in my life. I said, our grandson is just the most precious little guy. I said, it totally changed his life. When you get the devil out of him, it's got to change his life, right? The devil that's in us come to steal, kill, and to destroy, right? I don't think I want him floating around in me, do you?
No.
Especially if I got all power and authority. All I got to do is repent. And that little boy, there was his mother and dad had opened the doors to bring that devil into that kid because they lived in sin. Okay, let's see. The next verse we had here is Mark 6:2-6. Mark 6:2-6. I'll try my best to get y'all out of here. I thought I got to get enough scriptures to last for 2 hours. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12. I got 12 series. We're just now starting on the third one. So we only got nine left. So I'll try to get y'all out of here by midnight tonight. Okay. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Verse 3. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Jesus and of Judah and Simon? Are not all these brothers and sisters with him? And they were offended at him. Verse 4. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. Verse 5. And he could, you notice Mark has a little bit different in it, there, and he could there do no mighty works, save that he laid his hands on a few sick folks and healed them. Now the other translation we read, which was in Matthew, it said he didn't do anything because of their unbelief, but Mark says he could not do these things because of their unbelief. Now then, do you realize, are you getting the picture, that when you are in unbelief, you limit the power of God to do things for you? You can turn off his power. Isn't that something? You know, I mean, since we're talking about your mother, I mean, with your mother, the faith she had, there is no way that you could have stopped that healing power in her that day. In fact, I don't think I've ever had anybody as bold as her mother was that day when she's throwing that left finger in my nose, thinking, you touch me in the name of Jesus, and I guarantee you I'm going to be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Amen? You want to touch me too, huh? Well, as long as you're touching Jesus.
Amen.
And you're touching Jesus, right?
Amen.
Amen. Because it's Jesus that does all the healing. But he does it as we touch. A man of God touches you in the name of Jesus. Jesus shows up to honor that faith. Does he not?
Amen.
Yeah. He sets us free, does he not, brother? I mean, isn't that God? Isn't that awesome to serve a God? You know. Wow. And he could there do no mighty work except that he laid his hands upon a few sick folks and healed them. Verse 6. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went around about the village teaching. Now, if you got a bunch of unbelievers, and all of us were unbelievers at one time, were we not? You know, I think about Michael and Gracie, of all the years they loved Jesus and never saw a miracle. And then they came here and I started teaching them these principles. And lo and behold, they didn't get it the first week. Didn't get it the second week. But you begin to get a little. And then one day, Michael is another one of us that had back trouble. There are 1, 2, 3, 4 of us that had back trouble. And that ain't no fun, is it, Michael?
No.
Especially when you're like, he's a mechanic. I used to be a mechanic. I worked on cars. And when you got back troubles, it's hard to lift heavy parts off of engines when you got a pain in your back. So he knows what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. But finally, one day, the faith built up in them. They heard enough promises. When he had a really bad back trouble, when she said, honey, you know that Thurman's been teaching us from God's Word. That Matthew 18:19 means what it says. Matthew 18:19. We used that just a few minutes ago for the rain. The prayer of agreement. Again, I tell you, Jesus said it. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about what?
Anything,
I will do it for you. But you got to believe that. And so she quoted that verse and laid her hand over on her husband's back and asked the Father in Jesus' name to take away all his pain. And as I've heard Michael say many times, in one heartbeat, I was instantly healed. And he never had another problem.
Amen.
God's good, isn't he, Mike? All the time he's good. Now just think, just like for Mike and just like for me, just like for Jack and Kim and all the rest of us that had back trouble, how many years had the healing power of Jesus been there?
All the time. 2,000 years.
All that time, right, Scott? We didn't know how to tap into it, though, did we, Gracie? But when we finally learned, he showed up, didn't he? So you see, I don't care if you're a doctor like Jack, or you're a mechanic like me, or anybody else. If you don't know the promises of God, he doesn't just show up and heal you automatically, does he, Jack? To them that finds my words and obeys them, it will bring radiant health to all your flesh and a long life to you. To who? To those that finds my words. Because he sent forth his word and healed us, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
So we take those promises. He sent his word and delivered us, right?
Yes, it is.
That part of the sozo thing? Yeah, so when we get sozoed, you know, I'm going to tell this one last story. This lovely young lady sitting right here in the red. Just a few years ago, she was working for me. She'd come here and she prayed over the prayer lines and did everything, anything we asked her to do. But she came to church here all the time too, mostly over in Dallas back in those days, before we came here. But she has a relative that had a baby girl, and the doctors told the girl, you better spend some time with your baby girl because her liver is failing and she will be dead in a few days. Is that right, Gloria? That's what they told her. But when she went to Gloria and told her, said, I need to spend some time with my baby, my little girl, because she's dying, her liver don't work. And she asked her a question. She said, you have a baby, a girl? I didn't know you'd gotten married. She said, well, I haven't. I just moved in with a guy. And she was a Baptist. So Gloria jumped right on her case and said, do you not know that that's sin? Well, she said, well, you know, it's not a big deal. Oh, yes, it is a big deal, because that sin has opened the door to the devil to kill your little daughter. Well, see, she didn't understand that. But Gloria understood that. She had read the word. So she said, if you will repent right this minute and tell God you're sorry that you moved in and had sex with that boy, she said, if you repent of that and make God a promise you'll never do that again, then I'll go down to that hospital and I'll pray for your baby. So she repented. And Gloria goes down to the hospital, and that little child is in a glass container, an incubator, whatever they call it. She laid her hands on the glass because she couldn't touch the child. But she told the Lord, Lord, I know you understand that I can't touch this child, but I'm doing this by faith in your word. And she prayed for and rebuked the devil and everything else, commanded the devil to come out of that child and for that child to be healed. And that child was instantly healed. And today that little girl is, what, 12 years old? About 12 years old. Now, you know, if we all knew these principles, we'd never do those stupid things, would we? Praise the Lord. Yes, amen, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're going to have to get rid of the sin of unbelief, don't you? I believe, because if our master told us that if we have faith and doubt not, what's impossible with us, Pat?
Nothing's impossible.
I think I need her to stand up and shout that from the housetop, don't y'all? Is that what we need to hear, Bill?
Yes.
We need to know that with you and me, there ain't nothing impossible because our Savior told us that, right?
Right.
If we have faith, what can we do, brother?
All things.
All things. And I think we need to start thinking like that, don't you?
Amen.
We need to believe that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us because it's written in God's Word. Mama, you can't do that. I look at the unbelief that came out of the daughter when she saw her mama when I prayed. Thank God that mama had that great faith, because when she shot that arm straight up in the air, she said, her first words out of her mouth, Mama, you can't do that. You don't say that no more, though, do you? No more, no more. Because your mama was in a place of faith.
She was
in a place of faith, was she not? And to think that a year and a half later, your mama's still totally healed, and she never had to go to a doctor for one single minute.
Nope.
And had, but she had a big tumor in her right shoulder and had a disconnect of her rotator cuff, which has all been put back together totally by the Master.
That's
with
right.
No medication.
That's right. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you and praise you for this beautiful day. We thank you and praise you for all the wonderful things you do for us. And Lord, help us to pray and fast and do whatever is necessary so we can get rid of this unbelief, so we can truly, totally walk in a place of total belief in your promises, so that when we do things, that nothing will be impossible with us. Absolutely nothing. As sons of God, you've already provided that for us and give it to us, and it's ours, and help us to walk in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.